Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
W-E-E-I.
Oh, welcome to the program, everybody. What do you say, Foye?
Hello, Lou.
What do you say, Mego?
Hello.
Well, we got a lot going on here today. We've got, at 3 o'clock, we got Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. 3:45, we got Razor. Andrew Raycroft from Nesson, do a little Bruins there as well. And we got a little big deal, no big deal.
Ooh, so, and you know who's running, doing his first big deal, no big deal?
Who would that be?
It's kind
would
of a big deal. It's Christian Arcan.
Big deal, no big deal.
He's going to drive.
Arcan's first and no big deal.
It's going to be a big deal because I think he's going to mess it up.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. My money's on him messing it up 100%. I've been trying to tutor him,
trying
to like mentor him a little bit. I don't think he's just not taking
it. It's his baby, you know. This is Foye's baby.
Yeah.
Don't screw this up.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with the school he went to, the college he went to.
I need to prime the audience right now. Christian's in a bad mood.
Weird mood.
Like,
not a bad mood.
Okay, what did you just spend the last 25 minutes doing?
Making a kill list.
You're making a list. Making a list.
Making a kill list, Mego.
You were naming the people who you hate.
Yes.
And then you're like...
Yeah, it's like
it's blocking
list.
In.
And then you were naming the people you hate, and then you were ranking them.
Yes. And then we all ranked our own kill list.
Yes.
I feel like that was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, you know, now, okay, and I warned
you.
Well,
it's like Thanksgiving week. It's weird, yes. Right? It's like a Tuesday, yes. But it's kind of a Thursday.
It's that old Thanksgiving tradition of ranking
hating
the people
everything.
You hate.
Well, rather than thinking about what you're thankful for. You know, like you do this week, like you may do on Thursday.
But I'm not spending time with these people.
Yeah. I feel like that's a sign of growth, though.
What do you mean?
Being able to admit and identify who you just don't like at all.
So a sign of growth is identifying who you don't like and wanting to kill?
And then telling those people.
Is that, maybe. Is that like the fifth step or something to call them up?
There's got to be some sort of like, there's got to be some psychiatrist.
All right, who's number one on the list?
This is a sign of healing.
No, Christian, what you're thinking of is accepting that other people don't like you.
That's
like
fine.
That you don't have to be loved by
everyone. Yes, I'm totally fine with like having no friends except my wife.
But a sign of growth is not just accumulating people who you hate and then ranking them to your coworkers.
I don't even know why I started
and then at
that.
At one point, you go, "Oh, I forgot about that person."
Oh yeah,
I can't leave that person.
Yeah. He, she, a lot of pronouns.
Yeah,
they moved up the list.
That's right.
They, them.
I'm in a good mood though.
You know,
I don't know why.
You are in a good mood.
Weird mood is definitely probably a better way of explaining
this.
It.
Like, how do you guys feel? Like, I don't know. I find myself now after watching, you know, the Patriots weekly. You know, and then all of a sudden you tune in to, say, like Sunday Night Football, for example, and you watch the Chiefs and the Chargers, and the game's decided in the final 30 seconds, an exciting ball game, and the Chiefs win 30-27, and you're like, wow, that was actually fun. And then you watch the 49ers last night, Monday Night Football. They win that game 38-10 over the Cardinals, and you watch this, what a Shanahan offense really looks like. You know, all the promises, people talking about, they're going to take the Shanahan concepts and they're going to do some zone blocking. And you know, they're going to get the ball in the playmaker's hands. And you're like, man, if they could ever figure this out by end of the year, look like what we saw last night or what's going on in Miami, I'm in. It couldn't be farther from what we saw last night of what the Patriots are trying to do. Aren't they trying to do the Shanahan offense?
I think that is
Wasn't
the goal.
Wasn't that the goal?
But here's, it's so funny, like, this when you think, when I think back on it and how, What people think the Kyle Shanahan offense
is. It's just zone blocking?
Really, it's just a zone blocking scheme. Like, how disrespectful is that to Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan, and every other Shanahan that actually runs this offense or version of it, some whatever the Shanahan coaching tree is? You think that the whole Shanahan like offense is nothing but zone blocking concepts? because Terrell Davis was our back in Denver? Like, that's what you think are, that's what, that's the big announcement? I think it's almost, you're watching this offense, you're going, you know, because I walked in and said, okay, what'd you guys wake up thinking about? And everybody had something different. Yeah,
and none of them were sports.
None of them were sports. Except for me, because Ryan, I don't know if you have this. I don't know if you have this. This is from last night, the announcer, the Spanish announcer from Monday Night Football, how he introduced this game.
Do we have this? Noches, Mexico! Johnson Lee, the reportero de cancha! Estadio Azteca! Vamos a enseñar la pasión! The passion for la NFL! Es lunes! Es Monday! Los 49ers y los Cardinals en Monday Night! Football! Viva México! Viva la NFL! Y viva Monday Night Football! Monday Night! Monday Night! Monday Night!
Okay, Monday Night.
Viva
Monday night.
La football!
Yeah, so, busque dentro de ese complexo e prodiso.
So yeah, no, so that's what I was thinking about. And it was part, then obviously they're playing the headlines and all the highlights, sorry. And you're looking at this offense, and I'm like, man, this is what we were kind of promised in a way.
I thought.
And it's like, this is what I thought, but they're so far from that. It really is comical to think that they can achieve that because Shanahan is so clever. He's so brilliant. He's so experienced. And, I mean, so there's an element of, like, almost like, you know, disrespect to think that they could pull it off.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like, Kendrick Bourne was going to be, you know, fake jet sweeping on every single play, running behind the running back and a possible little lateral pass to him. And then, you know, fake run to the right, stretch run, roll out, bootleg to the left and hit Jonnu Smith, get the ball in his hands and the playmaker's hands. And guys moving
lots
all over
of movement,
the place.
Speed all over the place. Line. Yeah, they're chasing. No one can understand what's going on. Instead, it's like every random, you know, ho-hum linebacker is calling out your plays.
They have no RPOs. They have no pre-snap motion. They have no play action. And you're like, this is what we thought it was. Remember, grabbing an average quarterback in this offense, he can look like Jimmy Garoppolo, who last night went off and has got a 104 quarterback rating this week. It's supposed to be QB friendly. Well, it is if you know how to run it.
Yeah, if you actually know what you're doing.
Yeah, because it's so funny because remember, this is Jimmy Garoppolo, the same Jimmy Garoppolo that had like rotator cuff surgery at the end of the season. They wouldn't even let Jimmy Garoppolo into the freaking building. They just didn't even want him anywhere near the building. How lucky and how fortunate are they that he is still on that team? Right, so he's doing everything he's supposed to be doing, and it's really no interceptions last night. He was really so efficient. He was at 20 of 29, 228 yards, 4 TDs, no interceptions.
Monday night,
131.9 QB rating. So if that is like, I think you're capable of that. Like you don't need to be George Kittle. Like you don't need to, you have two competent tight ends. You can run the same plays that. So maybe he doesn't take it to the house. You can run the same plays. Like, you have competent wide receivers. Your quarterback, I would say, is just as good as Jimmy Garoppolo.
Christian, you can't even line up right.
That's my point. That's like, you can't. The very first play from scrimmage is a jailbreak on, which isn't even a blitz, Lou. It's just a tackle, like a D tackle in an end with a basic stunt that you would teach the first graders playing flag football. I'm first. Okay, you go first, then I'll go after you.
Well, now that they've added McCaffrey, it's like, I don't know if you've got McCaffrey. I mean,
no.
Debo, it's like, you know, we looked at Bourne, we're like, Debo light. Like, this is kind of what you've got. And, like, you mentioned the tight ends. Kittle, did you see Kittle last night running and just drop the ball? Did you see that one from him?
No, I did not see him run and then drop the ball, no.
No, you didn't see that?
I didn't see that. Did he do it eventually, though?
No, but this, Michael, this afterwards. Is what it looks like, actually, when you have, like, an offensive mind, like, in charge of the offense. Like, this is what it's maybe build that is supposed to look like.
You know what it feels like? Because you mentioned that we've been watching this Patriots offense operate like this for weeks now. It's like Franzia football. Like, I feel like I've been drinking the boxed wine Franzia. And every day I just wake up with a hangover and it's just gross and you just get through it because it's all you have. And then with that, it's like, oh, you're going out to Napa Valley and you're going in some like farmer's cave where they're like, oh, let me dust off this wine for you. It's been aging down here for 200 years. And you're like, yeah, technically it's both red wine.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
Yeah. You have this bogus whack knockoff version of an offense, you know, but that you bought at some like budget rental store.
We'll be drinking some apothic red wine.
Yeah, listen,
it's just never good. It's never here. I guess the reality is once I woke up, You know, and then remember the Mexican announcer, you know, introing Monday Night Football. I mean, that's the. I feel like that should be my alarm clock. I just realized it's never going to happen. It's just, and then I went into this whole like deep dive. Okay, so how can you change it without like hurting the feelings of your friends and your buddies, which is Joe Judge and Matt Patricia? No, I have the solution. Like, so you can still be the offensive coordinator. So I can have Matt Patricia running, like controlling, being the adult in the room, but I would definitely have him delegate like he's a head coach, but just on the offensive side of the football. Like, it's almost like a Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy type situation where we all know Eric, like that, you know, Andy Reid is really in charge of the offense, but, you know, Bieniemy has probably does a lot of the legwork, calls probably 80% of the plays, but when in doubt, Andy Reid jumps in.
But they don't even have like an offensive assistant for Patricia.
They got to bring somebody in. They got to bring somebody off the street.
Now?
They all got to. No. This is all next year.
Oh, next year, Patricia's gone. Like, right Patricia now, cannot be the offensive coordinator next year.
Not a chance.
I'm just worried about the now.
The now, you just got to grin and bear it with the now. The now is not going to change. You'll have basically the same thing. Can you imagine them even repping some of those plays the 49ers were doing? Just like doing them in
They'd
practice?
They'd run into each other.
Yeah, they would. They would just run into each other. My bad. Do it again.
I thought I was
crossing.
No,
you're in front. I'm in front. No, you're in front. Oh, wait. Can we do it again? Hey, walk through it.
Like there was
slow motion.
There was like one play last night where it was like an RPO that ran to the left. The left guard actually pulled and went to the right. Like, so they like actually showed running like to the right. But yet he pulled to go to the right. And I think like the right guard like actually pulled to go left. Like the two of them like crossed. So it was like, okay, which way are they running? Because both guards are pulling to support the run. They actually went left. But just like a complete dummy play, like a right guard, left guard just pulled to the right, and they ran the opposite direction. I'm like, you know, listen, if the Patriots did that, two guards would run into each other, and it'd be minus 3 yards.
It would be a nightmare. It just wouldn't work. And I just, I mean, and I feel like sometimes you know, and I fall into this trap myself. I get a little delusional with what I think they're capable of. I do. I get into these like little stretches where I just go, no, it's fine. It's going to be okay. Like even Sunday night, I was doing the late show with Steve, with Burton and Mike Reese. And I was like, you know what? I think they got a good chance of beating the Minnesota Vikings. And then I left and I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
This is why I love my job.
I just don't, it just, I cannot, like,
what
you know,
that,
trust
I'm,
my
I'm
lying
intrigued,
eyes.
Because I didn't see it. What in that moment made you feel like they were that they were going to beat the Vikings?
No, it's delusional happiness. Like,
were you
that
talking
just
to
comes Rochi? With a. Yeah, no, I was not talking to Rochi, no. But I do think that.
Was Reese getting you pumped up?
A little bit. You know, because he's the ultimate optimist.
Yeah, there's still some Rochi dust around the studio.
I know, but he is is there a bigger optimist than... Okay, so it's Dan Roach and it's Mike Reese.
Because I'm happy.
Scal is in there.
Okay, but for
Scal,
the Patriots...
Scal's kind of a realist with us, I'll say.
Yep. Yeah, he is.
He's still... More real than
when it comes to the Patriots, though, who do you think, as far as, CBS, ABC, all those NBC, the people who actually, you know, are like newscasters guys... Who's like the most non-homerish guy that covers the team?
Phil Perry.
I can't think of one.
Mike Giardi.
It might be you. Everybody else on WBZ.
I don't know.
WBZ yells at Christian whenever it's on fifth quarter and he talks bad about the team.
It's true.
No, I would say like
I don't get picked on. Christian goes on and says that they're going to beat the Vikings.
I think
Phil and Tommy Curran, I think, kind of call it the way it is.
I say Curran too.
Yeah. I think it's Phil.
The least homerish?
Phil sits there and gets...
Bill hates him.
Gets
remember we
out
said
by like Bill.
The first half of the season, Phil Perry was the MVP. Those
almost
press
every
conferences,
week.
Like every single week.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Back and forth
Phil.
With Isaiah Wynn, going back and forth with Bill. It was absolutely fantastic.
He wasn't really saying anything that bad though. Bill just had a thing about it.
Oh yeah, because he was asking the right questions, and Bill doesn't
right
like
way.
When people ask the right questions, and maybe even the right way. Ryan brought up a good point too. Last night in that fourth and short, did you see Brandon Ayuk at the point of contact blocking?
Did he make the block?
No, because they don't not stupid
oh,
enough to do it.
Oh, that's right. They would because that's not what he does.
No, it's not what he does.
Because that's a lose-lose.
No,
lose.
That's not what he does.
If that
Patricia
play was
does,
drawn
though.
Up in the 49ers, someone would say, "Who the hell was playing? Wait, who thinks this is funny?"
Yeah, Buck
and
83,
then,
Brandon
Ayuk. Up here, they would be like, "Man, I think that could work."
Yeah, yeah,
we could really make this happen.
Deception.
Hey, Nelson,
they don't know if he's going out for a pass.
They
out.
Never see it coming. They think they're going to try and go out for a pass play.
Kim. Fourier, please save me from the Glenn Ordway voice.
I think this is a good jumbo
every
package.
Every day.
We'll put Yala on the edge.
Bolsonaro.
Yeah. I like this play. Let's run it.
Let's see if we can have the guys walk through
it. All right, so I want to dive
Busquets,
into your
Dentro.
Your thoughts about the Vikings, whether you can win. Because I heard Tommy Curran said this is a game that the Patriots can win. Let's dive into it a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about the Minnesota Vikings here on Thanksgiving. You got that late night start. I want to dive into it. Is this a game that you can steal? We'll talk a little Minnesota Vikings next. This is for you, Paul Yank.
We're just talking about this.
Yeah, I know. He's listening.
He wasn't listening. Is this in Purple Rain? This one's nice.
Yes.
It is?
Every great song that Prince ever had is in this movie,
Purple Rain. What about 1999? That's not in it.
What, 1999? Let's party like it's 1999.
Tonight we're gonna party like it's 1999.
I can't confirm that.
I don't think so. Purple Rain, definitely, though.
Yeah, it sounds just like that.
Yeah. Well, he's going Purple Rain because you're playing maybe the
Vikings.
Reminds
me of the Y2K. Oh.
Is that what you're doing?
Is that
a little purple?
No, I just heard Raspberry Beret in the bathroom.
Every rejoiner today should be a Prince song, Ryan. I don't know if you're capable of doing it. Hey, Ryan, by the way, just real quickly.
Yes, sir.
You know, a couple weeks ago, I called in the morning show, and Chime was getting a lot of credit for, like, his rejoiners. Like he's a DJ.
Should we do that?
And I was like, no. I'd put Ryan against anybody at this station.
Well, I appreciate
as far as
that.
The musical, like, you know,
it's
IQ.
It's interesting because you get angry at him a lot whenever he plays, like, punk rock.
Yeah.
You're like, why is Dash?
Yeah. It's more confusion. It's always confusion. It's just like, what is this? Yeah.
He wants more Eric.
I usually end up with a happy ending.
More third base. He wants more third base.
More third base. Yeah, more third base, more happy endings.
Yes. Yeah. We all need more happy endings.
Happy endings.
Listen, Chime does a good job.
Write this down.
His music is really good.
Battling DJs.
Why did that sound so bitchy?
It shouldn't have.
All I know is Ryan never takes a day off.
Never.
Ever.
Except for tomorrow.
You're off tomorrow?
Are you really?
Yeah.
Early. Uh-oh, his boss man.
Boss man's behind you.
Does he know
you're
off?
Laird.
Yeah, oh. Ken knows. I mean, it's my first day off since the 4th of July.
Oh, my God. Watch out. Watch out behind you.
Thank you.
Well, good for you. I'm very proud of you.
Leave a note for the guy who's taking your place, would you please?
I will.
Yeah, okay. There you go. All right, so the Pats are playing on Thanksgiving. It's an 8:20 start in Minnesota. Vikings favored by 2.5. So not a very big spread. Basically, that's saying that these two teams are equal. They're 8-2, you're 6.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Three.
That's a trap, is it not?
Well, it's funny Feels because like it. No one's really believed in the Vikings all year long. And I would say if that Dallas game last week had happened like the week before, nobody would have been surprised, right? It was sort of like, nah, Buffalo's gonna destroy them. You know, they're frauds. Their record is 7-1 is frauds. And they went out and they beat the Buffalo Bills, you know, in overtime. And you're like, huh, maybe they're just, you know, maybe they're actually pretty good. And then the Cowboys rolled in and beat them 40-3. So it's curious. I heard Tommy Curran midday. I want to play that real quick, get your thoughts on it. This is Tommy Curran talking about the second half of the schedule, the last seven games, and what he sees for the New England Patriots.
If you look, the Patriots are 6-4, seven games left. There are five on-paper losses on the schedule, objectively speaking, by record and by resume, past resume. The Bills twice, the Dolphins once, the Vikings, and Cincy, which was your AFC Championship finalist. Give them a half. So there's 4.5 losses. The Patriots have to flip a game. And I think this might be an outstanding chance for them to flip a game and win one you don't expect them to. I think the Patriots can go to Minnesota against a defense that's not as good as what they've seen in the last 3 weeks against the Jets twice and the Indianapolis Colts and flip that game.
So when he says flip that game, flip one of those five, I guess he's predicting like a 3-4 record rather than say 2-5, right? 3-4, which would put him at 9-8.
Yeah.
Is that enough? Whether it's, you think it's enough or not, but can they win this game?
I thought it was interesting real quick, Christian, that he threw out, he started with there's five losses essentially on your scheduled losses, but then he tapped it down to 4.5, basically indicating that Bengals could go either way.
No, I think this one. I think this is the game that I just think he just thinks you got to steal one of them.
And you think this is the one?
He thinks this is the game you could steal.
Okay, so let me just play this out because I remember what I was talking about on Sunday night that made me think that maybe this is possible. Because when you look at some of the teams the Vikings have played in their little run to win, I don't know how many in a row. So against New Orleans, they played against backup quarterback Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. Against the Chicago Bears, they played against Justin Fields before he realized how fast he was. Against the Miami Dolphins, he played against Teddy Bridgewater. Against Arizona, it was Kyler Murray. Against the Washington Commanders, it was your guy, Heinicke. And then it was Buffalo in overtime. That was a real solid win. Then a big loss
against
Dallas.
They almost lost to the Commanders that game, too.
Almost lost to everybody.
Yeah.
That's
and
the problem.
So not only has it been some, I would call it, I guess you can look at it either way you want. You can say, wow, they really got lucky, or they're beating the teams they're supposed to beat, right? I mean, they're taking advantage of somebody else's, you know, terrible situation, and they're overcoming their own adversity, and they're winning. That's what they should do. You can look at that Buffalo Bills game, 33, that went into overtime, 33-30. They won that game at Buffalo on the road. That was a tough environment. That's probably their best win. You know what they have. Other than that, an opening week, opening day win against the Green Bay Packers, who are not really Green
Doesn't
Bay Packer-ish. You know, they got whooped by Philly 24-7, and I would probably say if you played that game over again, it'd be a little bit more difficult. But, so yeah, I do think that there you can look at this and say, well, dude, look who they've played. Look at the quarterbacks that they've played. You should feel better about it. But I feel like this is the worst time to catch them sleeping, because if you're going to steal something, if you're going to steal a win from a football team, you probably want them coming off a high. You want to probably want them reading their own press clippings. You don't want them emotionally beat down and angry about how they just got their butts whooped by Dallas 40-3.
You want them in the spot that the Cowboys.
You
had
want
them
you,
off of
yes.
The Bills game.
You want them coming off a loss, angry. You know, focused instead of just like, you know, relaxing. Like, oh, look how many wins we have. We're almost there. I think this is a dangerous position that they're in. And they're playing on the road. They're playing at home. They're playing the Minnesota Vikings, you know, at home.
Got to get
and again, they only
had
three. They had 3 points in that entire game. I don't think you're catching them at the right time as far as stealing a win.
Megal?
I'm looking. What jumps out to me is this little stretch when they were able to put up 28, 28, 29, 24. and then 34 on the Cardinals. That's what worries me a little bit, because I think you actually might catch a little bit of a break with your offense. Like, this might be a little bit of a get-right game for your offense, judging by what you started with. I know it sounds ridiculous to say on Sunday, but I really do think that Mac Jones turned a corner and is coming back to himself. So if you can start figuring some stuff on the offensive side of the ball, but you face such bad quarterbacks in such bad offenses recently, it's going to be a test for your defense. I think this is just going to be a much more even, like, you're going to have a more even showing to go out and be able to do this, where maybe your defense comes down and their level play a little bit, but your offense ratchets up more.
Well, I would say, like, you know, you just play the Cowboys, you get absolutely smothered. And, like, they're number one team. They're number one team in the NFL in sacks. You're number two. So I think it starts there in slowing down the offense, your front seven, getting pressure on Cousins. This kind of falls into, like, the whole, like, me, Christian, with the whole Polar Express. I got to see it to believe it.
Seeing is believing, Lou.
Because it's easy to sit there and say, well, you're not facing the Jets defense. And even the Colts, I think, is, you know, pretty good as far as yards and points. They're, like, maybe top 10 or 12 in that range. So you're facing the Vikings that are, like, 29th or 30th in the league in yards per game given up defensively. Points-wise, it's, like, 23-24 game. They're probably in that 24 range, right, as far as ranked. So defensively, it should ease up a little bit for you. But I don't know what that means, because I've looked at an offense now and said, what does that even mean, that they can put up 17? You know what I mean? Like, so if they're facing a weaker defense.
Defensively,
so,
you mean defensively on the other side.
Like, they're facing a weaker defense, but offensively, what does an offensive outbreak look like for this football team? Like, can you envision 24 points putting on the board by this offense?
You know what I think it looks like? I think it looks like more.
How does that work? How does
rotation,
that happen?
Like, more rotating between Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. Damian getting in the end zone in a way that we haven't seen him do in the red zone so far this year. I think, well, how many touchdowns has Damian Harris had?
But they got problems on the fringe of the red zone, getting into the red zone. Once they get into the red zone, they're one of the worst teams in the red zone. So it's
not just the fringe. It's like, and we'll get into this later, but like, just once you get in across the 50, it just turns into, I mean, the little bit of yardage that you get to cross the 50 because of what your special teams are doing in your defense in order to put you in good field position, and then you get there and you absolutely can't execute.
So we were talking about that loss that the Bills had against the Vikings, right? And Josh Allen turning the ball over. He threw two picks. He fumbled the ball. So he turned the ball over three times, and they scored 30 points. The Vikings in that game, Kirk Cousins, can he turn the ball over a couple times versus you on Thursday? Absolutely. But that's what he did against Buffalo as well. Like, he had two picks against Buffalo, and they put up 33. I know that last one was kind of a gift at the goal line, but still, like, 27 points with your quarterback turning the ball over twice. And that's where I wonder about this second half of the schedule. Like, if your defense plays great and gets Cousins to turn the ball over a couple times, they can still put 24 on you. Now, what can you do?
Yes. Well, again, you know, part of the whole stealing one is you hope you get some non-offensive touchdowns. You hope you catch a break. You hope you get a tackle for a loss that leads to a fumble recovery, right? All those things. But let's say you don't get any of those things, and you have to generate your own opportunities and your own points. What does it look like? Man, I see. I
looks like
envision
that game we just saw on Sunday where they scored 3 points and then returned the punt at the end of the game.
I don't think it's that. See, my thing is, even if
they're facing a worse defense, even so I'll give you credit there. But
I would say, even if, like, so I still think an average defensive end can beat Kadjust. I do. I think he would. I feel like an average defensive end could still kind of, you know, take advantage of him. He's just slow. He's prodding. Like, it's just the best thing they have, though. But to me, I would really focus on my tight end number one. And it's not Jonnu Smith. It would be Hunter Henry. I would focus him.
I would
draw
a
play one, and it was like a design play, decent play. It worked, but he's just not involved. He's just not involved, and I can draw five plays right here and right now that you could run 10 times.
Can you do that and fax it over there?
I should probably airmail it or something.
Seriously.
Just slip it underneath his door.
Send a little bird over to Foxborough.
Jeez. I'm surprised Hunter Henry is not causing more of a stink.
Well, he had some comments after the game about how frustrating the offense was. I mean, that was one thing that we haven't really touched on very much, and I think we should in the next hour, but Mark Daniels had story. Mark Daniels, by the way, has been like all over the locker room the last couple of weeks from Mass Live. But he talked about how all the players in the locker room were firmly praising, or most of them on the offensive side of the ball, firmly praising Mac Jones, and then saying how frustrating the offense was.
Mm-hmm.
How just they can't do anything.
And see, that's the thing. You are in week 12. Like, mm-hmm. Mac missed 3 weeks. And the 3 weeks he's come back, this offense looks like it can't do anything, even though they're 3-0. So really, like, you know, so I don't, I'm going into this game, it's week 12, and I don't know what this offense is going to look like, how many points they're capable of putting up.
You know how many points they're capable of putting up is this offense with Mac Jones has not put up more than 26 points a game. They did that against the Colts. They did that against the Ravens, which actually the Ravens was really kind of the best we've seen of Mac in those first three quarters. And then, of course, the horrible turnovers. But the big points games, I hate to say, it came under Zappe with like 38 over the Browns, 29 over the Lions.
Yeah, but the Colts points that you're talking about are Jonathan Jones and an interception return, and it was a block punt to the two.
Right.
Like, that was your offense. Like, that you had field goals. So, and the other side of the ball, too, like defensively, it's week 12. And now I don't know what to expect against a Kirk Cousins, who is not a great quarterback, but he's a good quarterback. I know what Dalvin Cook is. I know what Justin Jefferson is. I know what Thielen is as a number two wide receiver. I know what Hawkins is as a tight end. So it's like going into Thursday night, it's the most curious I've been about a football team. I have no idea what to expect offensively against a defense that isn't as good as the ones you played recently, and defensively against an offense that's actually functional, that's actually, when they take the field, thinking of scoring, not turning the ball over. You know, so it's like I have no idea. This is why Thursday night's game is so fascinating of what to expect. None, you know, whatsoever.
And when it comes to just the sheer offensive weapons that this team has, this Minnesota Vikings team has, I was trying to look at all the other teams that they played, going back to all the other teams' skill positions. So, because with Hawkinson as your tight end, has Jefferson as your wide receiver, and Dalvin Cook as your running back, probably the three most collectively, right? Because you can look at Miami and you can look at those wide receivers and say nobody's better than them collectively. But you throw in Dalvin Cook as a back, you throw in Jefferson as a wide receiver, and Hawkinson as a tight end. Have they played against a tougher trio of skill position players? It's like the holy trinity of, like, you know, offensive weaponry. It's like, you know, the tailback.
Miami didn't have the running back.
They didn't. They did not have the running back. They had Gesicki, but I think they threw it to him twice, maybe. They didn't really involve him at all in the offense. He's been like a ghost in that new offense. And other than that, I think the Ravens,
No.
Packers, absolutely not. Lions, no. Browns, no. Bears, no.
Nobody.
Nobody. Really, so this is your toughest test of the year of a team that only scored 3 points. So they go up against this high-powered, this Dallas team that's looking to kind of, you know, prove to people that they belong, and then they take it out on you. So what do you think that the Vikings are going to do? Just kind of like, oh, woe is me, and kind of tiptoe through this game because it's Thanksgiving? Not a chance. You're going to get their best. You're going to get their best. So you're going to have to score. I would say, like, in order to make this actually a game, what were you saying, 24 points?
You're going to score 27.
Can they score 27?
You got to score 27. 24 at the least. You got to score. I mean, you can't keep doing. You're not going up against Zach Wilson and Sam Ellinger.
That's obvious.
The most they scored, you say, the Ravens, 26 points. The Packers, 24. Not a chance.
At the same rate, though. I think we need to get into this in a couple of minutes.
You better hold him.
Like, it is. It's not Josh Allen. You see him next week. It's Kirk Cousins. Like, Kirk is a good quarterback. I think people crap on him a little bit too much, make fun of him because of the goofy little, stuff like that. He's a good, competent quarterback.
Used to be yours. How do you like me now?
Oh, that was kind of tough. There were a couple nights in my 20s where I drank too much and shouted that at people.
How you like me now?
Yeah. You like that?
Well, I would say, like, bar. Cousins this year has
That's for tomorrow's
Man,
show.
You're going to have to leave.
Like, Cousins this year, I would say, like, he's down for maybe what he's been the last 3 years, right? Like, even quarterback rating. But, you know, it was funny talking about Mac Jones going to be Cousins. Well, last year he was 33 touchdowns, 7 picks. The year before that it was 35 and 13. You know, the year before that it was 26 and 6, 30 and 10. Like, it is constantly around that 30 number, and interceptions 10, anywhere from 10 to 13 is like a high in the last, whatever, 6-7 years. You'd be lucky.
Yeah.
If you got that kind of production out of him. But this year he is down.
This game is going to have to be 21-20. That's what you're looking at. You're going to, you know what? Here's how they win this game. Lots of yardage, lots of receptions.
Are you going to drop hidden yardage?
No. But you just can't finish. Now, you hope they can't finish. So you're hoping that they, so what if you lose the yardage, you know, contest? You know, so what if they have, you know, 350 yards, 400 yards total offense? So what? If they only have, 13 points, what good is it? I mean, honestly, that's so okay, fine. There used to be a time where like the Patriots were good at this. They would give up a lot of yardage, they would give up a lot of receptions, but they just wouldn't allow anyone to score. So it would almost be like, wow, we're doing a lot, we're moving the football, we have nothing to show for it. That's how they win this game. That's how they win it.
What if you end up going like field goal to field goal though?
They got to score. See, they got to score points.
I do worry there is a little bit of this defense, I think, earlier in the season and definitely last year, even though it's not the same defense, that would let offenses march down the field for a while before they like got their butts in gear. You saw a little bit of that. I mean, the defense is so strong. I'm not afraid of Kirk Cousins. It's just, I think it's going to look a little different than it did to lose point against Ellinger and Douche Lord.
You know what would be an unbelievable like sign of like just confidence for this offense, for this pay, if they take the opening drive and they go down and they score. Can you imagine how much confidence they would gain from that?
Well, that would be the first time this year the Patriots have scored a touchdown in the first quarter.
They mentioned that in the broadcast. I was like, wow, they haven't scored in the first quarter at all this year?
They had an opportunity to do it. Bill's like, we're just going to let the last 20 seconds go.
I was like, what are we doing?
So I was just looking at this game. So it's actually, I was looking at DraftKings. The line is at 3, Vikings minus 3. The over-under is 42.5, and the Pats over. The Pats total line is 20.5. They got to score over. They got to go over if they're going to win this game.
Yeah, I like 24. 24 feels good. I like 27 better, but 27 would be like a little bit of a stomping.
I want to dive into it because I know one of the reasons why a lot of people feel like they're going to win here on Thursday and now they have a shot is because of Kirk Cousins and he's in primetime. And I want to just talk about Kirk Cousins in primetime. We got a couple of your calls lined up here talking about the Patriots and the Vikings on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night, 8:20 start. How do you feel about this game? Can the Patriots offense put up the amount of points needed to win this football game? 617-779-7937. Talk Kirk Cousins. And by the way, Ross Tucker, he'll join us at 3 as well.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Import, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
So when you study up in the offseason about, you know, your upcoming NFC opponents, obviously you haven't seen in a long time, and you play them this late in the year, how much of that study is useful in your preparation now, or you just have to go off the games, obviously, they've played?
Both. You can't picture exactly what Minnesota is going to be in the offseason without seeing them. You have an idea, but how they've actually evolved is something you wouldn't know in May or June. We did more work on these guys probably in the, you know, in the bye week, just to get, you know, knowing this is going to be a short week after the Jet game, to get a little bit ahead on this one before we dug into the Jets. So that was more valuable for us, I'd say, than the offseason.
That's Bill Belichick today talking about preparing for the Minnesota Vikings. And I would imagine it's a challenge, a team that you play, what, once every 4 years? You know, if this was, say, Jets on a short week, the next week it's Buffalo, but it's like really like a full week because it's Thursday to Thursday. But
what
short
happened
week?
To one game at a time?
Oh, preparing for
the
Vikings?
Yeah, just looking at, hey, we're just focused on the Jets. How much did we hear that last week?
For the record, though, as this awesome song just plays on
what
in the background.
This?
Get up. They do this all the time. This is nothing. It doesn't mean that they don't still have the one game at a time mentality. It's like, okay, we know we're gonna have. Let's be proactive with this and get as much of the tough work done now. So because we just don't. It's almost physically impossible to get all the work done.
But when they say like we worked on the Vikings, do you think like Bill, Matt, Mayo, Belichick, like Steve Belichick, you think the coaches actually, because I don't. Like, I think they're focusing on the Jets. Your scouting department is doing, you know, professional scouting department is doing all the legwork on Minnesota. So when you come in Monday or Sunday after your Jets game, you're like, all right, what do you got for me?
See, I don't know, because I don't know if that's maybe some aspects of it, because I used to see coaches on the plane breaking down Dante Scarnecchi. I specifically remember him breaking down film of a team that we weren't playing for like for another 2 weeks, like just getting ahead of it. Because all they're doing is gathering information, getting up their, you know, breaking up their film and all that stuff so they have like, so it's readily available to them. And the scouts, like what those guys do is they come in and they hand you like a pamphlet that says, okay, here's a scouting report on the defensive players. This guy does this. He has a straw. He's, you know, he can't go to his left. He always falls for the fake. So they hand you like a report. Because they do hop in the car, you know, and drive to these games and scout and do a whole scouting report. But it's more that than it is, here are their tendencies on 3rd and 10. Here's those guys have to pull that work. And they have to draw the plays up accordingly.
All right, let's get to some of the calls. Let's go to Tim in Hanover talking about this game here Thursday night. Go ahead, Tim.
Good afternoon, gentlemen and the lady. I want to say, Kirk Cousins got his butt whipped the other day badly. He looked like he was getting dragged around like Mac has been. But let me tell you, I had the same numbers both you guys had. I had 24 because Kirk Cousins averages like about 24 points a half, whether it's the first half or the second half. So no one's really stopped him for the whole game. Now the thing is, we're going to need at least 27 most likely to beat him. So I'm hoping that the boys can do what they got to do on Thanksgiving to have a good Thanksgiving day.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate
how do you get to 24?
Three touchdowns and a field goal?
No, I know. How do you? But I'm saying you, with your offense. Professor.
Oh, no, I agree. Offense. It's got to be a defensive score.
I think we're going to do that in the next hour after we talk to Ross Tucker.
Eight field goals.
At least have one pick six in there. Yeah.
Well, we talked about, like, Cousins. I mean, obviously, like, the Eagles and the Cowboys shut him down. Like, a guy in the text board's like, Dallas only needed six. Fine. You score six and see how it goes. You score six, see how it goes. Like, you're going to win 6-3. They're going to put up 3 points 2 weeks in a row. I don't see it happening. But, yeah, three touchdowns and a field goal. Doesn't that have to be a pick that gets you inside the 10 for one of those scores? Or another block punt to get you within the 5 for another one of those scores? Like, doesn't it have to be something like that? They put one drive together while Mac Jones has been back. And that was coming out of halftime against the New York Jets. 165-yard, 6-play drive, touchdown to Jacoby Myers. That is the only touchdown drive they've had in 3 games. And I'm not including the Ramondre Stevenson 3-yard catch because it was a block punt. Put you at the 2,
for God's sakes.
And
they almost screwed that one up, yeah, to be honest.
I don't know. Let me go to Jake in Providence. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, guys. I just want to talk about context because I heard a lot about it on the line. I think Christian was talking about when have they faced a trio like this. And I just want to say my overall point is that I think that we have to keep in mind that that is the exception, right, around the league. Even looking at their opponents they have left, who has a trio like that? Maybe the Bills, if you count Josh Allen as a runner as well as a passer, and you have Stephon Diggs, maybe the Bengals as well. But if you're looking across the league, it's not a surprise to me that the teams that, you know, have the highest sack total, like the Patriots, like the Cowboys, are in divisions where all of the teams are over 500. So, you know, I just want to have context. I'm not saying anything about the Patriots offense. We all know it's inept. I think that's more Patricia than anything and play calling. But as far as, you know, trying to get a grasp on what the context is for this Patriots defense, I think that they've faced more of the, you know, of what the league has to offer right now and are, you know, coming through in a way that, you know, we're not saying anything about the, let's say, the Dallas Cowboys and saying, oh, is their defense for real? They're in a division just as tough as the Patriots are, and it's battle tested right now. So, you know, how are they going to do over the next 6 weeks? That's going to determine the season. But I just want to kind of have that context here that this isn't the average that they're facing on Thursday, and both teams are coming off a short.
Okay, Jake, I appreciate it. Well, I mean, context was used an awful lot. I will say that, you know, I don't know, when you look at the rest of the schedule and you say Minnesota's got three outstanding playmakers, and then to your point, you look at Buffalo and you include Josh Allen in that with Steph Diggs.
How about the Dolphins?
And Gabe Davis, who can beat you. So then it's like, okay, and then you're kind of going through it. And it's like, well, Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams and Miami and Tua and yeah.
Waddle
so it's more like the norm of what you got to deal with, whether it's like a quarterback in weapons or just the weapons alone, like Cincinnati with Burrow, Mixon, Chase, Higgins. Like,
well, but even when you mention Buffalo, you go Dawson Knox as your tight end. You have your obviously your wide receiver. You don't have a running back for Buffalo. It's like Josh Allen is your running back.
Singletary's been running well the last 2 weeks.
I know, but he's not Dalvin Cook.
No.
Right? I mean, like, sure, he's running
well. But Josh Allen's better than Cousins.
No, but I'm just, I feel like Cousins underrated. Underrated. I don't know why people like they just continue to just dismiss his accomplishments. And so whatever, it's fine. But he's got weapons that you haven't seen before. So you literally have to, you know, be mindful of the entire field. What did Max say? 53 and a third? I love how when like players are like, oh, we're going to cover the whole field.
60 feet, 6 inches.
It's like, thank you. 50. I always thought the width was 50 yards.
Yeah.
When I run, like, run gassers.
They're lying to you about the sprints.
I know. I always thought it was 100 yards. Okay, back and forth.
So I know they used to shorter set up number, the 300 yard shuttle.
I know we got to do
sideline to sideline.
I know we
got
to do Ross Tucker here real quick, and I think later on we'll bring it up because we're going to talk to Ross a little bit. But this, you know, the prime time Kirk Cousins stuff, you know, and it came up because they got their doors blown out, and he was awful against Philly Monday Night Football earlier, and it's really a Monday Night Football thing for him. He's 0 for started off his career 0 for 9, and he's now 2 for 10. And the primetime stuff is a little bit shady because, like, Saturday nights, for example, he's only played one game. And he was 31 for 46, 365 yards and 4 touchdowns and no picks. That was way back in 2017 against the Eagles. On Sunday night, he actually played his best. He's got a 71% completion percentage, 18 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Monday night, the record isn't great. The numbers are okay. But luckily for you, Thursday night is actually when his statistics are actually the worst. On Thursday nights, he's 3-4. He's got 65% completion percentage. Still not awful. 11 touchdowns, 11 picks. You know, in 7 games, he got like 2,000 yards. So I feel like the primetime Cousins, like how he sucks in primetime, is kind of overblown because he's actually okay. It's not like he's 55%. But on Thursday nights, 11 touchdowns, 11 picks. So that is an issue for him. Apparently on Thursday nights, you got a shot at it. All right, when we come back, we'll get more into primetime Cousins either later today or even tomorrow. But Ross Tucker, NFL insider at Westwood One, calls the games. We'll talk to him. That'll be next.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.